Hey guys, welcome to episode 188 of the JV Club with my marvelous guest, Brandy Posey. I want to, first of all, thank everyone who sent me a birthday greeting, a message on Twitter or Facebook or email. Thank you so much. I've had a lovely birthday and I've been shooting this awesome new show for Geek & Sundry called Escape, and it's based on these escape room games that maybe some of you have done. They're like live in-person games that you can do where you try to get out of a room by solving a series of puzzles. Everybody knows I love puzzles. So anyway, that's going to be airing in July, but it's been so much fun to shoot. If you follow Geek & Sundry or me or Felicia on Twitter, you've probably seen some notifications about it maybe. And then of course I'll be on the Joco Cruise next week where I will be doing a podcast recording. So I'm excited about that. I'm not 100% sure I'm going to get it out and up by next Thursday, so we may skip a week next week, but I will certainly do my best. Anyway, so thanks for all of that. I wanted to thank for your wonderful emails, Taylor and Sunny, Devan. I think I might be saying your name wrong, and I'm so sorry. Devan? I think maybe it's Devon. Based on what? I don't know. April and Christian and Eric. And Eric is going to be posting something on a Facebook page. You probably already did, the JV Club Facebook page, but there's a great link to GoFundMe support equality link that addresses some issues in law enforcement, among other things. And I definitely encourage you to check that out and support it. And I think that's it. I've never sounded more sure about anything in my life. Cool. I will get caught up with some more shout outs soon. And I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
This is like really baptism by fire. I just dropped you right in. You're an experienced podcaster.
This.
You know what to do.
Yeah, I got this. Playing it fast and loose.
You could run the show if you want. Yeah, you can run it for me.
please run it. I'm working on maybe 2 hours of sleep. So
are you really?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask?
Yeah.
Did you have a very fun time last night? Was it for
I
good
was
reason?
Working last night.
Okay. All right.
So, professional comic, which means that I also drive for Lyft.
Sure.
That I do. And I like. Last night was super busy and I just like kept going.
Yeah.
And then I live in Eagle Rock and I was over by the airport and I was just like, you're not stopping until somebody takes you home. Cause I like hate paying for my own gas.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. If you're going to go, if you're all the way out there, that's sort of the idea of it, right? Is that,
yeah.
I just experienced that. I took a lift yesterday and the guy was like, oh, so this is great. I was heading from Burbank to Hollywood. Like, yeah, all good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just was like stubbornly just waiting. And, luckily, like I started late on purpose because I knew I was probably gonna like go from like the night into marathon people, so it kind of like made the transition,
okay.
And then finally got sent home, which was good. But
long. So when did you fall? I'm clocking this like it's a crime scene.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When did you fall asleep and when did you wake up?
About 8:45.
Oh, bless your heart.
I woke up at about 10:30, 11.
Bless your heart.
Yeah, I woke up at 11.
How do you feel? Does it feel like you're on a trip right now? And like I could just start saying weird things and you'd be like, I guess I'm hallucinating from lack of sleep.
I'm probably loopier than I actually am. Like I probably am loopier than I feel.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I feel very like I do this. I feel like. When I got in a car, I like had a car accident years ago where my brakes stopped working and I was like razor focused, like serial killer calm.
Yeah.
Just like you're going to do these things so you don't hurt the other people in your car.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my brakes stopped working and I ended up like crashing into a minibus basically.
God.
That's what I did.
How scary.
Yeah. But I like didn't panic at all. And I
good for you.
Kind of
I feel I would
feel,
panic.
I kind of feel like that a little bit right now where I'm just like, you're going to get this task
razor
done
focus.
And then you're going to go home.
A lot of people have described my podcast as like listening to a car accident. So I want you to feel very welcome, very at home. Here's what I'll say.
Okay.
I feel like and by the way, I'm not discounting the fact that you might be great for the rest of the day,
oh,
but I feel like I'm my best
directly after I've had those 2 hours, right? Then yeah. I'm like, I think I could just fully function. Does someone need me to take a test of some kind?
Yeah.
And then by like three, mm-hmm. then I'm like, oh, I understand now.
That's probably...
I meant to have more sleep than this.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. I like, yeah. it makes me feel good to know that I can still pull an all-nighter successfully.
Sure.
Because I feel like you only get a limited number of those in your mm-hmm, life. Mm-hmm. And then the numbers dwindle per decade. Too,
yeah.
Also.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I agree. So. I feel I started too young and I peaked too young in yeah. terms of that. And now, like, it's been a long time since I felt like that didn't affect me. You know?
I should have just retired in college, like, undefeated. Right? Undefeated. Exactly. I was so good.
So many trophies, yeah. so many medals. How do you feel? Listen, I imagine there may be some of you in cities that don't have Lyft. So Lyft mm-hmm. is like Uber. If you don't yeah. have Uber, these are people, this is private citizens
yeah.
Mm-hmm. who are able to kind of freelance as yeah. drivers. And it really works great in cities, yeah. in all kinds of cities, actually. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, I had to be on set and then I had to get to Hollywood and I was afraid I wouldn't have time to park to be mm-hmm. on time for a different thing.
Yeah.
And so it was so convenient to have a Lyft driver. And they're, frankly, more comfortable than cabs.
Yeah, way more. And they're way cheaper.
I'm a very social person, so I yeah. don't mind a little chit chat mm-hmm. and kind of hearing what people's stories are and stuff. Yeah. And you're in LA, so there's always, but true in like Chicago and New York too. It's
yeah.
just it's a really cool mm-hmm. side business thing that, yeah. That, you know, but universally for me and my experiences, in all cities, I have far, far fewer women drivers.
That's very,
and I was just curious
true.
About that. If that's something that you thought about or if people, or why you think that is, if people do think it's a safety or comfort issue,
I mean,
or
it's weird. The number of people that tell me to be safe at night is very sweet. It's very nice of them. Yeah. I think it's probably like being a female comic, I think honestly makes me a very good female Lyft driver mm-hmm. because like I don't feel threatened by anybody. People always ask me like, oh, you ever had unsafe people in your car? And I'm like, no, it's yeah. fine. Because if somebody does get in my car that I sense there is a problem, it's my stand-up spider sense goes off. And I'm sure. like, you're going to be an issue. Like, you're a heckler. Like,
right.
you're a heckler
right,
in the backseat.
Right.
And I literally will just like, they'll be like, oh, how you doing? And I'll just be like, oh, I'm fine. It's been kind of slow. Been sharpening knives all night. Or I like have like... I like have some kind nice. Of a joke that'll just be like, oh, she's funny and like is too much to handle.
Yeah.
So I immediately
you take control. You're in control
yeah.
of the situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I've never felt unsafe with anybody.
But in general, are mm-hmm. you and I say this as someone who has maybe erred on the side of unsafe
uh-huh.
because I have this sort of stubbornness
yes.
about me. Are you that person? And have
oh,
you
yeah.
always been?
Yeah, definitely. I very much am like, I'm a person that like I don't like wearing heels because I like being able to like jump down and run if I need
yes,
to.
Sure.
Like I remember being like a little kid and like being you know that it's like a where you're in like the swings at the park where mm-hmm. like you're sitting in the swings and you swing, not that but like the. At the like the carousel swings,
the
where you're
round,
like in the air.
The circular,
yeah,
you're
yeah,
up, you're lifted up into the air and it's
yeah.
circular, got it.
Yeah, whatever that yeah. one's called.
I call it the nauseator.
Yeah,
I call
right.
all of those rides the nauseator. I guess now
I'm not good at circles. I'm yeah. not like circular rides. I have
yeah,
a problem
me
with.
Neither.
But I remember like going on that at parks and always hating it as a kid, but being like, my friends will do this, so I'm gonna do it.
Yeah.
And I would like get through it by being like, if the swing snapped, I would. Will myself to land on that. I would
nice.
Will myself to like,
nice.
Every.
Disaster
I would just
disaster planning.
Yeah, I was just planning my survival, like all moments
yeah,
of that
yeah,
ride.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is like how
it's
I
amazing.
View everything in life. I think,
but without so, but that's interesting though, right?
Yeah.
Because that's not that's like semi paranoid in the sense
yeah.
that you're preparing for something bad to happen,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time. Not being fearful of it in the
yeah.
way that you're like, if you're imagining solutions mm-hmm. rather than just like, I'm going to break my neck.
Yeah.
It's interesting. That's a very interesting, mm-hmm. like, sweet spot in a weird way where I think
exactly.
many people are just like reckless and don't think about it at all.
Yeah.
And then to have somebody who's just terrified something's going to happen. And then you're just like cutting it right down the middle going like, listen, it's very possible something
yeah.
bad could happen, but I got this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's like, I always like, divide my life up by like what I have control versus what I don't have control of. And I think I learned that at a very early age of just being like, I don't have control of this breaks,
hmm.
but I do have control of like saving myself.
I think that's
this
enviable.
Way.
I
yeah.
think that's really enviable to have that kind of focus. Are you an only child or do you have brothers
no,
sisters?
I'm the oldest of two.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And where did you grow up?
I'm from Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Kind of smack dab, like right by Annapolis, kind of right between Baltimore and DC.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how was that? What did your parents do that you're there? Your parents?
My dad's a CPA. He owns his own firm, Charles E. Posey and Associates. If you're in Maryland and you need your taxes done,
well,
hey.
Stand up and doing taxes are very similar. So I can see where you got your stand up charts.
I also have, I'm also a freelance bookkeeper in LA.
Are you really?
Yeah. That's like,
that's actually really good to know.
Yeah. I am a QuickBooks whiz because that's I've great. Been doing it since I was 10 years old.
That's a skill that I semi have, but just, you know, sludge through every step, yeah. like grumbling under my breath.
Yeah. And I think I honestly kind of like it in small doses because it like, there is a finite,
sure.
like, it's like, oh, it's like math. Well, it is math because it's bookkeeping. But it's like, oh, there is a definite answer to this and everything will equal zero. Yeah. And like, this is like, everything else in my brain is abstract. Yeah. And that is like, cool. All right, cool. That's done. I can like check a thing off.
I see that.
Yeah.
I think I feel the same way in small doses.
Yeah, yeah.
Small doses. Like, I do a ton of accounting for the festival, the comedy festival. And it's definitely like... I resent the amount of time it takes that I could or should be feeling like I should be doing something else.
Yeah.
But there is a real like smack of satisfaction, like, yeah, like
check
closing the
out.
Book and yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that does actually make sense.
Yeah.
And so you're the oldest of two and do you, okay. and what is your sibling like?
My brother's interesting. He's a contractor now, but he was like an extreme sports kid. Like he was like a nationally ranked BMX racer as a kid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's funny because it's like, I think that we have the same like risk seeking behavior, but like mine is through my brain and his is through his body.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Like he's a kid that like he picks up. I could never do extreme sports because he picked them up so fast and I'd be damned if my little brother was going to be better at everything than me.
Yeah. So I'll just let him be good at the stuff I don't care about anyway.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm just smart. I'll just read more books.
Right. What? And your mom, were your parents together? Or did
they were together. My mom was she had a master's in forestry basically. Mm-hmm. Like she was a park ranger and then she had us and she raised us.
That's one of those jobs that has such a tremendous, sort of mythological appeal, right? Yeah. It's like that's a thing that I think many people have zero knowledge about other than that they assume she's just like driving around in a truck like communing with the wilderness but in an official manner and like telling people to put out cigarettes Smokey Bear style.
Yeah, yeah.
But that there's no, it's sort of like when people has a dream job is like, I'd love to have a flower shop, which by the way I one time said, you know. But then when I really think about it, I'm like, I don't really know where that came from other than that it sounds somehow like maybe it's relaxing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But who knows what that really entails.
As someone who has worked in a flower shop, not relaxing.
And I can't imagine that the customers are like,
no.
You know what I mean?
I worked in one in La Cañada, which is a very like very affluent suburb of LA. And, man, I worked there from Mother's Day through prom season, which is like the hot. I was a hire on because that's their busy season. And oh boy, people that have opinions about flowers have opinions about flowers.
Yeah. No kidding. Okay, so we can cross that off the list.
Yeah.
Did she enjoy being a ranger for the time that
she loved
was?
It? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And does it sound like what I imagine it to be?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was great. I mean, she would like, you know, take a lot of kids like would come from schools and then she would show them around the forest and like basically it's like conservation appreciation and like the Chesapeake Bay is like where we grew up, so like it's a lot of like, hey, let's understand what an estuary is and like get into the waterway and like how all of the watershed works together. And then when we were kids, when she had retired from being a park ranger, so her like master's was in bringing forestry to urban areas.
Great.
And then so she cool. like used that where in like the suburb where we grew up there were a bunch of like recreation areas that had been completely undeveloped, and she redeveloped, she like developed them and like had this whole thing where like the whole like housing community that we lived in, everyone had like a little tiny tax to take care of, like making sure that like all of these rec areas were like taken care of for kids. Like she spearheaded this whole like
that's
multi-park
so great.
thing. Yeah.
Were you proud of her?
Very proud. Yeah.
Did you have a time when because just based on what we're talking about and your kind of appreciation of and being adjacent to with bookkeeping and stuff, did you have a period of time where you did rebel against your parents in some way, or did you have a kind of more solid relationship all the way through?
I mean, yes and no. Like I on paper, I'm a very good kid. Like my, like, you know, I graduated high school with like a 4.85. I like, you know, I like never, I'm straight edge. Like, I don't drink or smoke or do drugs or anything.
Okay,
and
that's
I
good to know.
Never yeah. have. And yeah. like, just never wanted to. And so like, they didn't have to worry about
what
that.
What a dream come true for a parent.
Yeah. But like my, at the same time, I'm very strong willed. And mm-hmm. I'm marched to the beat of my own drum. And like, my mom is like, was a very sweet, she passed 2 years ago. And she was like a very sweet person, but she was not like an alpha. Like I consciously take after my father and I subconsciously take after my mom.
Interesting.
And like, I
got that really, I can, yeah. that hit something in me. I get yeah. that. Yeah.
I'm just like, there's things that I realize now that I'm just like, oh my God, that's like my mom. And I won't, it's not, they aren't, those aren't the qualities that I was like actively going after at all.
God, I really get it.
Yeah.
I really get that. I think yeah. I,
yeah.
Yeah. That's great. That's a very astute thing.
Oh,
what, I'm so sorry that you lost her.
Thank you.
What, is she ill? Or what
yeah. She had a disease called multiple system atrophy, which mm-hmm. is in the Lou Gehrig's Parkinson's family, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have a celebrity attached to it. So nobody knows what it is. Oh, I didn't know what it was until she got diagnosed yeah. with it. But it like looks like Parkinson's and dementia and Lou Gehrig's kind of, it's all in the same family, neurological disorder.
How's your dad doing?
He's doing okay. I mean, they were 19 and 20 when they met, mm-hmm. and they were together for the majority of their lives. I mean, she was 60 and he was 61 when she passed away. So it's like 2/3 of their life they'd spent together. Yeah. So, I mean, he's doing good. And luckily my brother still lives, he's in Baltimore. So he's like 25 minutes away. And my aunt, who's my dad's sister, she moved in like shortly when my mom kind of started getting sick. Like, she moved in kind of to be like, hey, I'm going to like come and help. Cause mm-hmm. her husband, you know, she's twice divorced and she's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
So she's like, cool. I can watch Law and Order in your house and sure. take care of your wife while you're working.
Sure. How yeah. much did you, by the way, again, you can yeah. totally just be like, I don't want to talk about this.
No,
anymore.
We can, I can, I always believe that it's like, if it touches anybody, it's good to talk about.
I think that's, yeah. and I unfortunately keep getting so many wonderful emails from people who are like, oh, this is something I can really relate to, yeah. or this isn't something I can relate to, but yeah. I feel I can better now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Particularly when you talk about questions of, you know, the things that many of us go through mm-hmm. that feel like, no, you never want it to be you.
Yeah.
Not that you want it to be someone else, but yeah. you sort of think it will be someone else because, mm-hmm. You know, even people who are neurotically think it's going to happen to them or someone in their family.
Yeah.
Don't really sit and like wait for that to happen. You
no.
know, it's sort of like a fear protector thing. Like, I'm just yes. going to assume this is going to happen because it's going to hurt really bad.
Yeah.
And I'll just assume it's going to happen. And then it happens. You're like, holy shit, it really is happening.
Yeah.
So there's just no way to prepare for that. What did you, what was your communication with your mom like about her diagnosis and what mm-hmm. her process was, because that's what I think as an outsider who could have something mm-hmm. diagnosed, like,
yeah,
we all think that we would just, I think many of us think mm-hmm. that we would just be incapacitated with
yeah.
sadness or grief and that we would take our own lives or mm-hmm. that we, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you yeah. sort of hear that stuff and then you have something tragic like what happened with Robin
yeah.
Williams, which we yeah. don't know enough about to mm-hmm. make judgments, but you sort of get
yeah.
thrown out this thing in the media.
Well, it's actually really interesting with him because, like, if you look at the interviews that have come out post that haven't gotten near the number of press that when he, you know, he killed himself initially, like, he had Lewy body dementia, which is actually in the same neurological family that multiple system atrophy is. Mm-hmm. So I very much understand what he was going through, but yeah. he was seeing hallucinations. And like,
oh,
if you read about that disease, it's like people are like, oh, he was sad and he killed himself. And I'm like, yeah. No, it's way, way worse than
yeah.
that. Like my mom tried to kill herself a number of times, you know, cause she just didn't, my mom was raised very Catholic. She like, my grandmother is from Sicily Catholic. Like mm-hmm. I am third generation Sicilian Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Not intense at all.
Yeah, I know. Not intense at all. It's fine. Luckily I was raised, my mom converted to raised Methodist and mm-hmm. like now I'm whatever. Now I'm whatever you got to do to get through the day.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that's the faith I subscribe to now.
Yeah.
But she, you know, it was really interesting watching her and really sad just kind of dealing with like reconciling her faith. She was a very religious person and we butted heads for most of my teen years because of that.
Yeah.
Like we her mom kind of like kept her under her thumb pretty hard. And I think my mom was like, oh, that's how like a daughter is supposed to be. And I was not that person. But then I also like wasn't ruining my life. So it was like there was weird tension there because she also just didn't understand what I was doing at all. And we like patched it up in the end. And when I moved to LA, our relationship got a lot better too, because it was like, okay, we can have boundaries, and like I can tell you the things that I know that you understand to talk about, and like you don't have to worry about the rest.
Absolutely.
That helped a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So she was she able to, I mean, I just don't know how to make peace with, I mean, the people in my family that I've lost either to dementia, or that dementia was a component that is from the outside. Yeah. It is my worst nightmare because we're our sense of selves and our sort of sense. And I've said this before, but I just want someone to pump me full of so many happy drugs if I'm going to stay alive that I don't have fear, because that is the scare. That's the worst thing to see someone else go through. And it's the worst thing to experience, I think, almost more than anything else, including pain, is if you're experiencing pain with the understanding of why and the acceptance of it, it's very different than being fearful of something. Yeah. And so that's what I wish I could give to anybody who stays on the earth in a place where they're confused, or they're less, they're more incapacitated mentally. It was just like, is there a way that it can just be wonderful and confusing? Can it be, like random weird... and I don't need to understand this, and this sort of joyful... frickin', I don't know why I said frickin' as if I can't cuss on the podcast when I do every day, but... the sort of like Rose from the Golden Girls, you know what I mean? Yeah. Where you just want someone to be like, oh, okay, you know? Mm-hmm. And it so often isn't that. And I just, that's, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally know. I mean, it was interesting with her because like the real thing that multiple system atrophy does is it basically tells your brain stops being able to connect like, oh, do this to move your arm, do this to... breathe eventually at a certain point like that. So it like starts with very primitive motor functions, and then it kind of moves into the more fine-tuned things. So it was like her mental slide was happening, but it was more like she never forgot us, but it was like she was less sharp, couldn't recall memories, but she knew who we were, or like was talking at different time periods but to us always knew who we were. And she was bedridden for the last 3 years of her life because of it. Like she just like, it's interesting because it is such a rare disease. Like nobody, and we live near Johns Hopkins. Like she had the best doctors in the world basically. Mm-hmm. And like my dad had her in every doctor ever. Like it took years to get a diagnosis. Like we didn't know, this was something that started showing up like a decade before she passed away in like little ways that like we thought were ADD, or we thought were like OCD, or we thought were like severe depression or anxiety, or like, I mean, my mom was in therapy for so long and they kept being like, what are you not telling us? And she's like, nobody touched me. I don't know what you're like.
Yeah.
You know, there was something that like that everybody was just like, there has to be something else that's going on. And then it's once the diet, like as it progressed, there was like one or two like tiny things that like a genius Dr. House type doctor was like, this is what it is.
Wow.
And then, so, I mean, we thought it was early onset dementia. We thought it was any number of, we got so many bad diagnoses and then we got like the last one and it was like, well, at least we know what it is and there's nothing to do about it. So it was, I think, I don't know if it was like a relief for her to like get to know what it was in the end, because I mean, she'd been told something was wrong with her for 10 years, you know, which is just, that is the hardest part for, I think my family now is kind of just dealing with like, we were all very angry at her for a lot of reasons because like we didn't, before we knew that it was something that she couldn't help, we were just like, oh my God, why, I've been late to everything my entire life because you just like can't get out the door in time. You've embarrassed me. Like you could never like, and then she just wasn't able to be there. She just wasn't capable of it. And then it's like you have this weird like anger that you're like, well, it's not directed at her anymore. I can't do that because she couldn't help it. So where do you put this in the world?
right into your own therapy session.
Yeah, just right into your own therapy. Yeah,
right, your comedy, even if it's in a, you know, absurdist kind of like adjacent way.
Oh yeah, I mean, it definitely it comes through. It definitely comes through in other ways. I also after the first Christmas that last Christmas without her, I like came back to LA and like needed to go on a bender of some kind. But I was like, I don't want to blow my life up, and I just like.
And you're straight edge, so it's not like you're like, I guess I can go back to my friend cocaine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I like sat on my couch. I watched House MD in a week. Uh-huh. I watched the entire show, which is hundreds of episodes. And because like he destroys his life. And it, and like I'd never even watched a show when it was on TV, but I just like one day was like, just watch House, that'll be fun. And then I just got so into it.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend was like, you've been watching House for like 30 hours straight. What are you doing? And I was just like, I gotta watch him. I gotta watch him just drive his car through the foyer of the woman that he loves. Like, yeah. I just need to see it happen.
I think there's a lot of interesting stuff about that. And and I am totally gonna armchair psychology right now.
Oh yeah.
But I think because I also binge watched House.
Uh-huh.
Not to that extreme, but like I definitely watched like a season in a very short period of time on Netflix and was like, well, how did that time pass? As we've all now experienced with some show or another.
Yeah.
And I think that there's something really interesting about that show in particular, which is that it is a network show. So it is a super formulated show, right? So you have all the same beats every episode. But within the context and the comfort of that predictability, you have someone totally unraveling who is also the most authoritative figure in that world.
Yeah.
And the most interesting to watch and the most beloved. So you're experiencing being angry with him the way the characters do.
Yeah.
Like, don't do this. I love you.
Yeah.
This, you're so amazing. How can you do this? Yet at the same time, I see how you being amazing could be really hard and cause you to want to go down this road. So I think there's something really, I think that's a perfect choice because here you were able to be cocooned inside this thing where you knew, I know that's going to be, they'll get a patient, they'll be told it's this, then they'll decide it's this, then they'll realize it's this.
Yes.
And then the next episode will start.
Yeah.
And so I really get that.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
like you got to do both. You got to sort of have this emotional breakdown that you got to observe, be close to, but also be safe in.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? Yeah. It was like, halfway through I realized what I was doing and I was like, oh, this isn't just me watching TV.
I have a mission. Well, I think those things are important too. Like, I mean, I do a lot of cons and I've been lucky enough to be on a show that helped people, that moved people and that, you know, they were able to have that connection with. And I think that's really, I'm always so interested in those stories and I'm interested in hearing them from not the perspective of people watching my show because it just keeps me connected to the fact that I do that and I've done that. And there isn't any kind of separation of like, really? It did that much for you? Good luck. You know, it's like, fuck, I totally get it. Like, yes, exactly. I have those too, for sure. And how lucky are we? I was thinking about that. The other day I was listening to an audiobook while I was riding my bike and it was, you know, I'd sort of made the determination that I would rather listen to the audiobook than listen to a podcast or listen to music. And I thought, I am so fucking lucky that I have this many. I mean, Jesus Christ, I'm lucky to have like, oh, I could watch this. I could do this. I could stimulate myself this way. I could listen to this. I could hear from this perspective. I could learn about this.
Yeah.
All while not at home. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that is like we are in a gilded age of media. It's absurd how many options we have.
Well, it's like the robots have taken over and it's through television. It's through just like media and just like dangling shiny things in our face. And
yeah.
It's like,
oh,
cool. My phone tells me where to go. And also I can hear anybody I want at any given time. Those are my overlords.
Like magic. It really feels like it's magic.
Yeah. Totally.
How did you, what was your relationship like to sort of the state of Maryland? And did you want to leave early on?
I knew I wanted to leave, but I don't have, I love being from there.
Yeah.
Also like,
it's so little. I've never been there.
It's very underrated, which is great.
Yeah.
I love it. It's like, it's an amazing place because Maryland is like we're half Southern, like technically we're below the Mason-Dixon lines, who are very polite, but we also have enough like Northeast get shit done to like, it's a really good mix of both of those things. Just like move, please. Like, yeah. That's our oral state basically. Just like, please get out of the way.
Oh man. Yeah. Did you have a relationship to the Serial podcast and sort of that, the way that world unfolded? And
I know where all of that happened, and it was so weird. Like,
have you listened to the Undisclosed podcast?
Mm-mm.
I only finally got around to listening to it in part because I felt like I needed to take a huge break because I went down, these guys know, I went down a major rabbit hole with that in a way I've never done about anything. Like, I've always gone, I don't know why people obsess over things. Like, I just can't get there. I wish I could. I wish I wanted to cosplay as my favorite character and talk to everyone about all the alternate endings that could have happened. I wish that I obsessively collected teacups and that gave me a sense of calm or, you know, pride, and that I've never had that. And then, like many people with that podcast, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I thought about it 24/7.
Yeah.
I listened to the episodes obsessively. I listened to the spinoff podcasts that were happening discussing it. I would talk about it with anyone who wanted to know. And then I finally went on Reddit, which I had never done before, and would disappear for like hours into the night when I was should have been sleeping. But it was the only time I had time to do it. And part of it was sort of like, what is going on with me that I am so unresolved about this and that I feel like such a participant in this thing? And I mean, I've talked about it before, but now, so when it ended, I was like, this is, I got unplugged from this. Like, this is not, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a detective and I'm a person with feelings and and this is very real to me. It wasn't about entertainment, and it was like, I was haunted by all of the things that you don't hear about that are happening at any given time, both to people and to people who are innocent, to the victims, all of that kind of stuff was just swinging around. So, so I just kind of like unplugged. And then I just recently, because obviously of the new updates with the hearings and stuff, was like, oh God, I really want to know more about what's been, you know, the case itself. And so I've been listening to it, and it is, to me, every bit as, you know, sort of compulsive, like, God, there's just so much information, so many great theories, and so much injustice, and so much strangeness, and so much, like, you know, anytime you're talking about police corruption or even just police laziness or good intentions that created laziness or whatever, boy, it's just really tricky.
Yeah.
It's really tricky.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because true crime is a thing that is so hot right now.
Right.
And I think it's because like people are realizing more and more how little control of the world they have around them on and true crime, and trying to figure out as a way for them just to be like, no, I'm prepared. Like,
It is, it's because I think I think that's such a great point because, because once again, you have it coming from both directions, right?
Yeah.
You have the, I can't control crime happening to me or people I care about, and that's terrifying. And then I can't control the way the legal system works.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah.
So it feels like you're could potentially be fucked on either side.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a really interesting point, Brandy. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. And I think it's people just,
it taps into all of that feeling of on every, like, not only can I not count on being safe, but I can't count on the people who are supposed to keep me safe, keeping me safe.
Exactly. Exactly.
On any level, including in a court of law.
Yeah. Yeah. So people are just like figuring that out and being like, show me more. Or they've experienced it in their own ways and they're normalizing what they experience by being like, it happens to other people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, from the other side of people who have been, you know, unfortunate enough to have gone through that, which is way too many people in the population.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to get back into sort of you and your perspectives when you were in high school. So, you had, obviously, based on what I'm hearing, you did have strong opinions.
Yeah.
You had a sense of who you were. I think that anybody who, it's interesting because that sort of straight edge line attracts a specific kind of person, I think. It's not a timid, I was afraid of drugs and alcohol, so I leaned hard into fear or Jesus or any of those things that, you know, I mean, it's also not like I went down the road of like punk rock and drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
I was really impressed by my straight edge friends I did have friends who were straight edge who would hang out with me even if I was on acid, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But but that was always like, God, you're really like, whatever thing I need to fill this hole with, somehow you seem to have not, you don't have that hole, is I think maybe how I saw
it. Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, so when I was in sixth grade, we lived in the same house until I was in fifth grade. And then we moved, my grandfather died and I wasn't close to him, but we moved into my grandmother's house. Cause we just wanted, we wanted to be with her. And my grandmother was like my best friend for a long, she was like, we like did a road trip, like cross country road trip. Oh, we went to go see John Kerry speak in Philly together. Wow. Like she's my best friend. And, we moved in with her, we like remodeled the house. And at the same time, maybe 6 months after we moved in, my dad's best friend, he got divorced and because he is an alcoholic and he came to live with us for what was supposed to be 3 weeks and turned into 3 years.
Oh my goodness. So, what a motley crew.
Yeah. It was interesting. My grandmother hated him.
Oh my God. This is nuts. Hated him. Have you written this as anything? Cause you will.
It's, yeah. Oh yeah. It's one of those things that's like, also his, like, his name is Dave, but I call him Mr. Dave because I just called him Mr. Dave my entire childhood. So it's like weird to be like 30 now and just being like, oh yeah, it's Mr. Dave.
It's in there. That's part of your brain now.
Yeah. Whenever I, you know, I still see him every once in a while, I'll just be like, hey, Dave, how are you? You're not Mr. to me anymore.
Right. That's funny. But so your grandma hated him.
Yeah, hated him. I didn't like him because he was like a recently divorced, like drunk. He stole money from me and would like buy booze. And that was like,
whoa.
Like, so my family had never had alcohol stigma. It was never a bad thing, but my dad would like come home from work and would have like a rum and coke or something when he got home from work. And it was just like, fine. I never saw my dad drunk. That never happened. Like we, crab feasts are a big thing in Maryland. So like people, we'd come over, people would like have crabs. You'd have like a couple of beers. My dad would always just be like, hey, you guys want to try some? And be like, oh, okay. Yeah, I don't like it. Doesn't taste good.
Yeah, totally.
So it was never like this forbidden thing. And then when Dave moved in, or Dave, when Dave,
Mr. Dave,
yeah, Mr. Dave moved in, it kind of was like, oh, this is what happens if you let it take over your life. And I like, he pushed me so far away because I was like, you're disgusting. You stole money from me.
Yeah.
He like, my grandmother used to collect those like miniature alcohol bottles like for whenever like my great uncle would come over. She like would always have like a little things for cocktails for him. And she went down one time to the bar and David drank all of her miniatures and had filled them back up with water.
Oh no.
And
like
she,
like a 15-year-old.
Yeah, like a 15-year-old, but like a 45-year-old man.
That's so sad.
Yeah.
What did your dad, I mean, that's a big thing for your dad to sacrifice your family's comfort on some level.
I mean,
for the love of this person who seems to not be behaving in any way that's good.
They're, I mean, it's hard because like they are like childhood best friends. Like they grew up on farms next
he's
to each other
to
yeah
too.
He's family and like to the point that like Mr. Dave like he has a brother that is like a heroin addict in Baltimore somewhere, and they both came from like they came from money and had like a trust, and my dad was like the executor of like their both of their estate, and when the heroin brother like wanted to have more money, my dad wouldn't give it to him. And he took my dad to court, and Dave like stood up for my dad instead of his brother. And like basically like saved my dad's practice at a point where it like could have happened. So
were enmeshed in a very real and loyal way.
Like they're brothers. They're not, and I mean everything that goes with
poor Mr. Dave.
I mean he's a very sad person, and it's not, he never made me feel uncomfortable. He genuinely does care, but he's a very broken person.
He
was a complete mess. And
well,
I mean,
it sounds like he did do you a favor in the sense that it really, you know, and especially with your grandmother, whom you loved so much, being like,
no,
not him.
No,
you know?
Not interested. And then like I was very lucky where like all of my friends in high school, like none of them really did anything, because where the part of Maryland that I'm from is like a DC Baltimore suburb, and I'm not joking about this. Like everybody has at least one spy in their family. Like everybody,
amazing.
Everybody has somebody that works for the NSA or the Pentagon, or like half the people that I know don't know what their parents do for a living, and they
so
just
crazy.
It's crazy, and like, but everybody was like I graduated with a 485. I was 127th in my class.
Wow. Like,
it was pressure cooker high school and no public kidding. High school. And like our public high school was better than most private
it
schools in the
like
whole
it.
Country.
Holy smokes. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like really
crazy.
Yeah.
What an adult world to grow up in, like where you sort of. There's a sense of the stakes being higher, but yet there's also potentially like less actual working knowledge about your parents' lives.
Exactly.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. It's really funny, like getting away from it and being like, oh yeah, that was different than most people.
Yeah, time and again when I have people on the podcast, like they have these wonderful, strange, peculiar upbringings that we all agree whatever we had, that was what was normal to us, you know? And that if that's not an example of the adaptability of the human race, I don't know what is.
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
You know, and it's honestly like it's also a sort of warning of reminder, don't blame someone for being used to being hit because we can get used to anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes the scariest thing is the thing that's not what you're used to.
Yeah.
Regardless of what it is.
Exactly.
What were you excited about when you were in high school? Did you have subjects that you were passionate about? Did you
always loved English, psychology I was really into. I loved history. I've always been a history nut. Like I
so you actually enjoy it's
I
not
loved,
like you
I
were,
love
yeah.
school. I
some
love
people,
school.
You know, it's like they sort of it's the means to an end, and it's like, okay, I'm going to hunker down and get through all this stuff because I want to go to the school. Or
I was very lucky to have some very good teachers, and
all
they
the difference.
it really does. Like my boyfriend is brilliant, and it breaks my heart that like he never had a teacher that like really tried to connect to him.
Yeah.
Like he's a freaking genius and he has ADHD. So like people are just like, oh, you're like a slacker.
Yeah.
And nobody ever tried to like take the time with him. So he just like hated school, like almost failed out of a lot of stuff. And it's like, man, I wish you'd had like, my AP English teacher, Mrs. Brennan, was this like amazing woman that when she retired, she like moved to Ireland to study James Joyce. Like she was like a passionate scholar that like
it's very infectious when you're young and you know you like someone and they have that relationship to something that you end up, you know, being able to enjoy by proxy and then for your own self. What and did you play sports or did you do theater? Did you do any extracurricular?
I was in marching band. I play the French horn. I was like
it's a very sophisticated horn.
It is. I picked it because I started in fourth grade and I listened to like the Peter and the Wolf thing and I was like, which one's the wolf? That's
oh wow. I love that. What a great like reason and instant connection.
Yep.
I'm trying to remember I'm trying to remember what the wolf sounds like.
It's that like kind of foreboding.
Yeah, it's deep, it's not trill, it's that's so funny.
Yeah,
I love that.
I just remember like listening to it being like the wolf is like the whole reason we're here. Which instrument is the wolf?
It's great reasoning. Great reasoning.
I didn't even know what it looked like until I like got to my first class and they were like, so here's the French horn. I was like, it's so big. I like did not know what I was getting into.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And what kind of music did you listen to? What were you?
I'm still like a really big ska kid. Mm-hmm. Like I love ska. I went from oldies to basically like Less Than Jake and Real Big Fish and like went hard into like ska second, third wave like that was just like it spoke to me. It's like so silly and goofy and like live shows were I went to concerts all the time. That was my like favorite thing in the world.
Nice.
It still is, but I you know no time as much time anymore.
Yeah,
but like yeah, like live music and especially like live music with horns was like so into it for me. And like ska is just very like upbeat and fast paced, and like the community is like very positive and like makes space for each other to dance. And like there's just it's like good, clean, weird fun.
I kind of feel like I missed out because I was never into ska, and everyone I know and care about who was, I'm like. But see, we would have had a great time together. Yeah. Like, I do feel I missed out.
It's interesting because, like, I always, like, I'm so surprised that more comics and people in the comic world didn't have ska phases. Because to
me, I don't even feel like it was accessible to me. In the same way that, like, me getting into goth and punk, like, that was very accessible.
Yeah.
But I can honestly not think of a single person I went to high school with who was into ska.
Yeah.
Not one. Everybody was, it was like you were either into The Cure and Depeche Mode. There was probably some spillover to like old school classic punk that would then spill into like weird techno, like Ministry, Front 242 stuff. And then there was like Misfit, like all the skaters were into like Misfits and like Danzig.
Yeah.
And there was just no, I can think of zero.
That's so interesting.
So there you go. I guess that's why I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess like that probably would have been more like The Specials and Madness, but like not even, it doesn't even really fit. Cause that was more like the mod thing, which doesn't fit with like those at all. Yeah. And like, I, No Doubt was big for me. And like,
yeah, I mean, No Doubt was around. Yeah. Like when I was in, I mean, this isn't, I wasn't listening to current, like these aren't current references. No Doubt was definitely around. Mm-hmm. But No Doubt for my community of music people, even before they broke, would still already have thought of them as like commercial.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, which I get that.
Not necessarily true. I mean, and just because someone has hits doesn't mean that they. Yeah. It's like, how can you control that? You can't decide not to have success.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Well, it's like one of Rubik Fish's songs is called Sell Out, and it's just making fun of that entire. It's like one of their biggest hits because it's just like, I don't want to flip burgers forever.
Yes. Would you? I'm sorry, person who thinks this isn't cool. Would you really say no, though? Would you?
Exactly.
Would you say, I just want to keep doing like this, you know, college tiny bar that pays me nothing? And, you know, that's very funny.
Yeah. But like, ska is like, so a lot of ska bands have like shtick or like banter. And like, that was like, honestly, like my first live comedy was like ska shows.
Sure.
Because I, you know, it was in Maryland. There wasn't like, there wasn't the UCB. Like there wasn't anything like that. And like, it was like, oh, here's like really funny people that I can also dance to. Like they really, ska is like a huge comedic influence for me.
I think that's, I love that. I think that's absolutely true. And I agree with you that it is surprising that it isn't more prevalent for for more comics. I noticed like, for Greg Barron, God bless him, he's still in it in the best way. I love it. He did a ska cover of LL Cool J's I'm the Type of Guy at Sketchfest.
Oh, that's so good.
One of the best things I've ever seen. It was so amazing.
Oh, that sounds so good.
It was absurd and funny and great and sounded fantastic because he has a great band that can, you know, pull it off.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah. No.
Did you ever play horn in a ska environment or did you kind of stay more band but you love watching it?
I wanted to be in a ska band, but like I didn't have enough people that like want, like, you need as many people as you need in an improv troupe for a ska band, basically.
Yeah, fair.
It's a lot of people. and like we just like,
which also means you need a good large place to practice, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
You know?
So yeah, I like went to a ton of ska shows. I was never like in one. And I always knew that like music was my first love, but like I wanted to do something with comedy because like music felt a little bit too sacred to me to like try to make a living at it. I was like, I want there to be mystery here that I'm fine with seeing behind the curtain with comedy. I'm fine with like knowing how dirty that world gets. With music, I just kind of was like, I want to always be able to watch bands and be like,
I feel the same way. Yeah. I feel the same way. I stopped being in bands kind of for that reason. Cause I was just so hyper aware of all of the muck and like dirt to it, you know, up to and including just like the rehearsal spaces and smelling puke and you know what I mean, just a lot
I mean like most of my really good friends are in like punk bands and stuff, and like I would go see their shows and stuff, and like we were like, oh man, what were they called? My friend Lewis's band Dead Letter was always really funny because they were like a punk band, but then they would have like weird, they would, I remember they had like one show that was like a, they got all these like croissants out of a dumpster behind Einstein's Bagels that if they'd thrown out and were like, croissant eating contest between two people, and like whatever they didn't eat they just threw into the pit, and then everybody was just covered in butter. It was just this like buttery croissant like circle pit.
That sounds right.
Yeah, so like there was always weird funny shtick that was like from that world too.
Did you date when you were in high school?
I did. I had two, oh God, three. I had like one serious boyfriend for like 9 months when I was a freshman, and then he broke up with me, and it like made me very sad.
Sure.
And then I started dating another guy. And then it got too intense too quickly, and like we broke up. And then I dated another guy very quickly, but that stopped after a month because I got back together with the intense guy, and then we dated for like 2.5 years.
Okay,
and
so you had one of the long ones.
Yeah, yeah. I was like the last. That was so. That was from my the end of the beginning. No, the end of like my freshman summer until the end of my junior summer, because he was a year older and he went to college, and it was like great, and then it ended. The last like 6 months were really bad because he got really into drugs and drinking secretly because they like didn't want to tell me about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he like got drunk and cheated on me with his ex-girlfriend like a week after we had sex for the first time, which will give you a complex.
Okay, so you guys have been together for a really long time before you decided to lose your virginity? Mm-hmm. Then
It was like it like threw me for a pretty serious loop, and that was like May, which was like a month and a half before his prom. So I had like everything was already like the wheels were already in place.
Right.
Plus my parents kind of hated him. So I like didn't want them to be right. So I like tried to power through it. And then we like just like fought and were miserable the entire summer. And then he like went, he left for college. We didn't speak for 3 months. And then he showed up drunk at my door on the night of my homecoming, my senior year.
God, was, really just like marching in step with you seeing that alcohol does not and drugs don't necessarily create good circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, that, like, it's so funny because I've never been militant about it, but like, I mean, I think everybody has their thing. Like, I definitely, like, I think that there should be a DARE program for sugar. I could have used that as a kid.
People who are big listeners to the podcast, my podcast right now, are like, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because I think, I always say that's like the
the
closest thing to when you're a kid, the way you self-soothe.
Yes.
That if you don't move on from it, like there's something very nice because you can trace right back to like, well, what did I have access to as a child? Like, and what do I still have access to?
Yeah, exactly.
And so there's something like nicely simple and sweet about that because it's not heroin.
Yeah.
And it's certainly less dangerous for you, kind of.
Exactly.
But it's like, also much more insidious.
Mm-hmm. It's like a slow overdose instead of overnight.
I feel you.
Yeah. Well, it's like I always, I talk about being straight edge on stage, and it's just like, guys, like everybody has their thing. Like, some people have beers on stage. You would think it's weird if I had like a stack of donuts from 7-Eleven on stage with me right now, but that's like
your beer
would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I won't waste your time with this or the listeners, but because they know already. But my mom is Mormon, and so my dad's an atheist and a big drinker and all that kind of stuff. But my mom, whenever I was with her, that side of my family and certainly that community that she was a part of, I watched be very into sugar because that's all you had.
Yeah.
That's what you got to, that's what you were permitted.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything was Rice Krispie treats, you know? And I certainly had that relationship to sugar. It was like, what can I do to feel better?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That definitely is like my definite drug of choice. And like, I've gotten a much better handle on it now, the more that I like have started thinking about it in those terms.
Yeah.
But man, it like, whew. Yeah. Why did I bring that up? I was never militant about like not doing drinking or drugs. Like anybody can do whatever they want because we all need to sleep at night. Whatever you got to do, just don't hurt yourself or people that you care about.
And absolutely,
that's fine. But like, between that guy and Mr. Dave, it was just like I went to college, and then also I went to college, and everybody in college was like, I went to film school in Philadelphia at Drexel, and everybody was so aggressive about like, oh, you don't drink? Come on, you gotta drink. And then the second that you tell me I have to do something, I will dig in so hard. Like you gotta ask, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm from Maryland, move please. Like that's that's how you gotta do this.
I've bristled at that stuff too, and I still do. It bums me out when I feel like I'm letting someone down by not also drinking what they're drinking. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, it's hard for me to relate to other than the only thing that I can liken it to is if I feel like eating something I know I shouldn't and I really want someone to do it with me because then it feels okay.
Yeah.
So whenever I feel the pressure from someone to drink, because I have plenty of friends who are like, I'm going to get a glass of wine, you know, but like, there's no judgment on either side of like, oh, are you not going to drink? Like, I don't,
I'm not worried about whether you do if you don't worry about whether I don't.
Yeah.
But when it starts feeling like, oh, I'm sorry, am I letting you down? Yeah. That I'm not drinking with you?
Well,
then I get confused and worried.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's people project what they're actually feeling on you so hard. They're like, are you judging me right now? Like, right. What do you think I'm doing wrong? And it's like, I don't think you're doing anything wrong. I think you're 19 and you want to drink and that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. That's what you want to do. It's cool. Everyone's journey's a different man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. That is like, honestly, my favorite part about like getting older is like, I rarely in conversation, like I very rarely tell people that like I'm straight edge. Like if people ask me for a drink, I'm like, oh no, I'm good.
Yeah.
I don't make it a thing, but like as I've gotten older, it's less and less of a deal.
Oh God. I'm sure.
At this point, everyone just thinks I'm sober because of something horrible that happened.
Right. It's like, she'll cool. tell me when she's ready.
Yeah, exactly.
About how she almost died in a car accident. She was drunk driving.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, everyone just thinks I have like a DUI in my past.
Yeah.
I'm like,
because that's more normal.
I know.
Than never having done it.
Yeah.
Did you talk to April Richardson about this?
Yeah. 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 Me and April definitely like bond over that all the time.
Yeah.
And also.
Well, I see a similarity too when I think about you as younger people, the sort of sense of like something that you loved then that you stayed true to. There's a lot of consistency from high school to now.
Yeah.
And I will say about you what I said about her, which I think I kind of hinted at earlier, which is I really appreciate and respect and admire a forming of self that early on. I think it's special. I think it's rare and I think it's special.
Thank
something
you.
To be really proud of and
Thank
feel
you.
Lucky about, you know, if you don't want to say, oh, I take credit because I did X, Y, and Z to know myself. And it's just something that kind of happened for you involuntarily.
Yeah.
Well, great.
I think it was like a combination of like, for me at least, it was a combination of like three things. Like my grandmother was like a very, she was awesome. She was like, I've been told like I am the ghost of her Christmas future or whatever. Like I like she was like, she died 3 days shy of her 89th birthday. She had never been in a hospital other than to have birth, like to give birth to two kids.
Her.
She was like active.
Yeah.
She retired and then she like got bored. So she got a job at like BJ's, which is like a Costco. And she just was like, I'm a sample lady. Everybody loves a sample lady.
I love it.
And she was just like very talked to everybody, was always laughing with strangers, like making friends in line at Kmart, but also did not give a fuck what you thought of her.
That's the best, like, right? That's the dream. The dream is just to be happy over the simple things because that's what matters most.
Yeah.
And then just also be like, and by the way, go fuck yourself if you don't like this.
Yeah. She's like, I was born in 1917. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I lived through the Depression. You don't like me?
Yeah.
Like, please. Whatever.
Right on. Right on.
Yeah. And like, So I had her and like I very much considered her like a mom in different ways too, like between her and like she was a person that I consciously took things from as well. And like my mom, who I when I was younger, I did not respect her heart or her patience, because those are things that you don't experience actively. They're more passive things that you get.
No, that's a really good point.
Yeah. And she was definitely like there were things about her that I was like, my mom, like, I think as we got older, had a hard time finding identity because she like didn't have as much projects. And also there was like, you know, a loss of like a mental state. And that was starting to occur in high school. We started to notice stuff. And I was like, I need to know what I like. I want to be like, I determine things. Cause like, I don't want to end up like that and just be like a, you know, it's very ungenerous of me to be like, oh, she's a bored housewife. But when I was like in high school, that's how I viewed it. Like I didn't respect what she was actually doing.
Yeah.
And then the two of them coupled with like that boyfriend, like cemented shit in me hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I was just like, oh no, I up to that point, like I hadn't really like I hadn't made the decision that I was like not going to drink or anything. And then with him, I was just like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, if any of his self-destructive, because I also recognized I had self-destructive behavior. Like I knew I did. And I like knew what addictive behavior was just by like observing Mr. Dave. And I was like, I also like can be very obsessive with really ridiculous things. And I was like, I don't need to like channel that power for evil.
Towards something that could do a lot worse. For
Sure. Like after seeing how bad that high school, that boyfriend just like spiraled hit. Cause he was like, living on the streets of Baltimore for a while. Like, that's what happens when you cheat on me. Like, I will I will ruin your life.
Hope everyone's listening. Hope
But like, we I just was like, I am not even going to think about, like, I don't need to know that, like, I can focus that way in a more self-destructive behaviors than I already have.
Yeah.
And I just kind of, like, after that breakup, I was like, I remember being in, like, that summer. No, it was like after that summer. So at some point my junior year, it might have been after the homecoming thing happened, because he, like, showed up with his new girlfriend at my house drunk.
Oh, God. And
that homecoming dance was, like, the first, like, weekend that I felt like a person again. Yeah. And I think he, like, sensed it somewhere in his brain. Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm losing control.
Bull.
And I remember, like, at, like, one of those, like, at some point that weekend, I was, like, alone in the house, and, like, I, like, looked at my dad's, like, liquor cabinet, and I was like, people do that to, like, deal with this. And then I was like, no, but, like, that caused this.
Yeah.
So I'm not ever going to do that.
Yeah.
And I just was, and I,
you really connected the dots in a nice, neat way, but, like, yeah. Great.
Yeah. And then I was just like, and also, like, I really, like, wanted to, you know, make my family proud of me. And I also have, like, a horrible cousin that is, like, 10 years older than me that did everything wrong. she's a very bad person. She, like,
we actually have her here. Could you come in here?
Yeah. She's like, oh man, my cousin, she's like my, you know, like, every family has a horrible person in it. And, like, if you don't, then you're the horrible person. Like,
oh, no, I'm trying to think of what that means. Yeah. I can't think of anyone. So that's not good.
There's probably, the thing is, honestly, there's probably, like, a secret uncle that your parents haven't told you about.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. Like, that generation is so funny that there's siblings that, like, there's a grudge that they haven't spoken to in 30 years. Mm-hmm. Like, we had at my mom's funeral, I had a great uncle show up that my great uncle Gene, I didn't know who he was. Oh, and they were just like, oh, Gene's a pedophile.
Oh, Jesus. Oh,
and I was like, what?
Oh, no.
And he's this, like, little 80-year-old man. Oh, and they're like, yeah, we like, nobody in the family has spoken to him in 50 years.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, cool, man. What? And he was like, oh, are you Brandy? And I was like, why do you know me?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So that's Sicilian Catholic.
Oh,
like,
my God. No kidding.
They bury it deep.
Whoa. Well, that's a problem with the Catholic Church sometimes. No, Brandy, I got to get into this MASH game because I'm very excited about what these results are going to be.
Okay.
I want to look this delicious demon right in the face because it's my favorite category too. Okay. In our fictitious MASH world, three things. When I podcast Emily Heller, she made the decision that the way she used to play MASH, she wanted to stay true to, which was two good things and one bad thing.
Oh,
it arrived at a hilarious result. Okay. I've never insisted on that. I feel this is your time to really just get three things that you love the most in. So I leave that decision up to you with no judgment. She literally is the only person I think who's ever done that. Maybe one other.
Okay.
But so this would be three things that are not great to have in huge mass consumption in our regular world. But in this alternate universe, they're like vitamins.
Okay.
And it can be as specific as like one type of cookie, or it can be as general as pizza, you know.
Oh man. Okay. All right. Man, you just said pizza and I have had pizza. Like when a word just like hits you and you're like,
it hurts. I hurt you with pizza. I get it.
I will make pizza one of those because I'm not.
And it's in your blood too.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Once it's in there,
it's a perfect, like, food, and it comes from where you come from, essentially.
I remember being in elementary school and starting a health club with Victor Blackstone. Mm-hmm. And every day we got the pepperoni pizza for lunch with a side of vegetables, with a milk, with a fruit, because we were like, well, there's meat and there's cheat.
Absolutely.
That food pyramid made a lot of people fat.
That's right. Turns out that's what that was.
Yeah.
The triangle is the top of your head and the rest of the triangles is what your body turns into.
11 grains? Okay.
Understood.
11 grains a day? Okay, great. That sounds great.
11 right. grains.
Pizza. Beautiful. Oh, boy. Let's say... I say just being around Jim Carrey? Is that a possibility? Just like Jim Carrey in my life. Yeah, he...
Great.
We can talk about him forever.
We can double up on him because I'm going to give you the who are you alternate universe married to or sort of with all the time kind of thing.
Okay, so... Jim Carrey.
It's amazing
pizza.
Use of that.
Jim Carrey, just the concept of Jim Carrey, physical pizza in my body, and what else do I like? It's like so hard when you're just like, what do I like? And then you just are staring at a wall. I love thrifting a lot. Can I say that?
Yeah. That I mean, work? Listen, this was supposed to just be like food or drinks.
Oh, okay.
But well, this is like things that you could do in perpetuity with no damage to you whatsoever. Yeah. I think that's great. It's a great adjustment. I'm into it. Cool. Let's jump over to the sort of alternate universe, sexy times and or husband and or companion, wife, whatever you want, however you want to use this.
Ryan Reynolds, number one with a bullet.
Got it.
Can I write him three times? No? Okay.
I've gone down that road before.
Ryan Reynolds, the late, great Alan Rickman. I'll throw him on there. Oh, my gosh.
Best.
My heart for that guy forever. And Patrick Stewart.
Great.
Yeah. Captain Picard is like the man that I hold all men in my life to. Like, that's the standard that if you want to date me, you have to meet.
This is really good to know. This is good to know. Really good information. Let's do three real places on Earth that it would be cool to have a vacation home if you didn't have to worry about, like, the pain of getting there kind of thing.
Hawaii.
Great.
Eureka, California.
Oh.
I love like northern California. It's so pretty. What is the name of that park? There's a park in Maryland, Deep Creek State Park is this like amazing. Oh man, like the rivers and stuff in Maryland are so pretty.
I gotta get over there.
It's like honestly a really gorgeous, beautiful place.
Yeah. I gotta get
over
there.
It's awesome.
Next category is let's do three bands that you play with.
Okay.
And they don't have to be alive anymore. They don't have to exist anymore.
Okay. The Specials.
Great.
It's so funny. I actually was thinking about the Specials because I went to see Maya's Princess at Sketchfest.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what would be the band that when I get famous.
That's right.
Just have a cover band and just tour.
Yes.
And I was just like, that's I just want a Specials cover band so hard. That would be amazing.
I love it.
The Specials would be really great. No doubt. Cause I want to be friends with Gwen.
Great.
She's so cool.
She really is very cool.
She was like flawless for a decade. Yeah. You know how hard it is to like be flawless for like a decade.
I do know. Yeah.
Oh my God. She's amazing. So No Doubt, The Specials. And I'm trying to think of like singers that I would like want to be really good friends with.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the way that I'm approaching it.
It's a good way to use it. Very good way to use it.
Who do I want to hang out with forever?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's funny because I used to be best friends with the lead singer of my favorite band. And then he started dating a piercer from Philadelphia who didn't believe in platonic relationships between the genders.
We've all gone through that, I think.
So, yeah. Less than Jake. I'm going to say less than Jake, too, because I love those guys.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do three skills that you wake up with tomorrow. You sort of downloaded Matrix style. Like, you wake up and you're like, I'm amazing at this.
Great. Oh, man. Carpentry. I wish I knew how to build stuff.
Me too.
Yeah, that would be so cool. Carpentry, fixing a car.
Great.
And like legit gardening / farming.
Mm-hmm.
This is how this is when my like doomsday prepper starts coming out.
I know, right? I've been thinking a lot about that too. Like, do I really believe it, or is it just like, why am I waiting for the end of the world to have those skills? Wouldn't I enjoy having them anyway?
Yeah.
Kind of perspective. So it's definitely something that I've been thinking about a lot. I hear you.
I saw a one of the Minnie Mouse on a Hollywood and Highland, where all the characters are, with a backpack that said was a Doomsday Prepper group. She's walking in full costume with her Doomsday Prepper backpack on, and I was like, oh damn, Minnie knows something.
Yeah, she's okay. Well, she's a pretty feminine young mouse, so even she's ready to hunker down. We got some trouble.
Yeah.
How about I just had it in my head. Three like alternate universe careers.
Okay.
And it could also just be, it could be the Yoda flower shop.
Yeah. yeah. Something like that. Okay. Could I be Anthony Bourdain? Like, yes! Can I just like be him?
Yes.
I would love his career. Yeah.
Just absolutely.
Traveling chef.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. Traveling opinion haver.
Yeah. 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 I mean, he's really like been able to sort of take one thing and merge it and morph yeah. it into a million other things.
That's so awesome.
So much more than that now. Yeah. Great.
Psychologist, because I like am one already, basically. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Just mostly for myself.
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna throw a psychic on there.
Love it. I would love it.
I wish I like I have a friend that used to be a phone psychic for a while, and she doesn't really call herself a psychic, but she like just she was always right. She's like, I don't know, I'm always right. It's yeah. weird. But it was always like really fun just to like watch her do it. I was like, that would be like cool. Yeah. It would be a really fun like.
You've hit a serious obsession of mine.
Yeah.
It is a show I'm actually pitching where I'm like, awesome. This is important to me. not necessarily out of a belief thing, but certainly yeah. intense curiosity.
Oh, yeah.
Love it, love it, love it. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do next one is, let's do imaginary friend. It could be someone who is a real person, but it could also stretch into sort of the Grover, Harry okay. Potter territory as well. Like a okay. person from literature or just an animal of some kind.
Oh, man. Okay. I wish my dog... I mean, I wish my dog could talk and like we could like be best friends forever.
No, I'm going to put it right on there. I think that's yeah. great.
Did you ever read The Watchers, the Dean Koontz book?
Yes, I think I did I went through a phase where I only read Dean Koontz books when yeah. I was in college working at a store where there was a bookstore across the way and they just had them all.
Yeah, that's my favorite Dean Koontz book. And it's like, that's the one about the incredibly yes, smart golden retriever.
Yes, 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 yes.
And he like learns to truly communicate with his yeah. master. And it like, I remember reading it.
I forgot all about that book.
It's like legitimately a really good book.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I could like actually be like know what my dog is really thinking.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. I love it.
That would be awesome.
Good luck topping that. I guess you don't have to top it, but you do have to add two more.
Yeah. let's see. God, who do I want to be? Who would I want to be like super good friends with? I'm trying to think of like Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Great, 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 yeah. great.
RBG is amazing. I want to be, she seems like such a badass.
Love it. Great choice.
And Amelia Earhart.
Great.
Yeah.
Great, great, great. Mm-hmm. Okay, last category. Am I missing anything vital that I feel like I'm not thinking about based on everything we talked about? Another one that I like. Well, I'm going through a phase where someone gave the great suggestion of something that you get to experience for the first time again, and I'm definitely Ooh. Going through that. So I'll yeah. use that. It's been a recent question I've used a lot, but I'm still into it, and I'd love okay. to hear what yours are.
Oh man,
it could be like a place that you visited. It could be a movie you wish you could see for the first time, a game that you wish you could play for the first time, a person you wish you could meet for the first time, all that kind of stuff.
Oh man,
let me
think about firsts. Well, let's be nice to redo losing my virginity. That would be great.
Okay, great, 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 great,
It'd be great,
great
to not have your great. Heart broken the next day. That would be
love
nice.
It. Really good choice.
Yeah, let's redo that one. I was just telling somebody the other day that I was jealous of them getting to do something for the first time. What was that? This is where the hour and a half of sleep starts to hit me, where I'm just like,
I think you've done a stellar job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Recollection of details is yeah. always like the hard part where
but
I'm
also
like,
just being put on the spot is oh. like, that's the yeah. virtue of this game. That's yeah. kind of cruel.
I wish I could. I don't know if I want it as an adult, but I wish I could like Ace Ventura 2 was like a religious experience. When I was a child, that movie was a religious experience.
So
for
to have
me.
Whatever that feeling and experience yeah. is, mm-hmm. that is, yeah. if not directly that, then the same kind of experience.
Yeah.
I that makes a lot of sense to me because there's stuff that I wouldn't mm-hmm. need to have the same experience, but I would want to have that same feeling yeah. somehow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's great.
That was like a defining that's moment hilarious. In my life.
It's an amazing, amazing thing. And then what about your last one?
What would I want to experience again for the first time? feel like there's probably like some food that I'm just like, man, that was a
yeah. Good, you take like your first bite, yeah.
I like changed my life.
A game changer. I love it. I love it.
The first time that I ate blue crabs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because like
that's
that was
great.
That was my first.
That does make me want to eat crab. Everything you've been talking about crab feasts, mm-hmm. which I've never actually participated. Okay. Tell me when to stop.
Okay.
Stop. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pause this.
Okay.
I invite you to pee.
Okay. Cool.
If you want to. I'm going to do some tallying. Okay, I mean, listen, I feel you really hit a gold mine on this.
Okay.
I'm hard-pressed to find anything. The only thing that I think I would have been happy for you to have is mm-hmm. for you to have that relationship to your dog based on the conversation we had about it, and you didn't get that.
Okay.
But I also feel that you do still have your dog, so
yes.
in a way, you still have that.
Yeah.
But you did end up with Amelia Earhart, which I think is fascinating and wonderful. So cool. And as if that weren't enough adventuring for you, this makes sense to me that your alternate life as this Anthony Bourdain
yes.
and Amelia Earhart, they would get along like a house on fire. Oh. A natural curiosity, yeah. a travel bug.
Oh my gosh.
It makes perfect sense.
That's the show. That's
it makes perfect sense. Oh, listen, the two of you traveling around, I'm in. I'm sure it would garner great success, which explains your beautiful mansion in Hawaii.
Yes.
And it also makes sense to me that you are an amazing gardener / farmer, because what could be a more ripe, lush, beautiful, verdant, I can't think of any more adjectives, area for you to celebrate that than near your mansion in Hawaii.
So much dragon fruit everywhere.
So much dragon fruit. So much.
I grow my own. It's very so expensive.
I don't know if you, I don't know if you like eating dragon fruit pizza.
I will try
but
it.
I want you to know, at the snap of a finger, with zero happy. Health consequences.
Oh my God.
Delicious pizza 24/7 if you need it.
I will weep.
I don't know if you have the same relationship though when you're performing as mm-hmm. I do with dairy. A lot of people say if you're going to be singing or performing, don't have too much dairy. So when you are on tour with the specials,
yes.
I just want you to take care of yourself. That's all. Yes. So keep that in mind. And I mean, listen, I don't know if these two things necessarily connect, but I certainly don't think it's a bad thing if your husband, Ryan Reynolds, is
Hell
who
yeah.
you lost your virginity to.
Suck it, Blake Lively.
You got us. I mean, this is like, there's nothing on here that's not like pure gold.
All of that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
I'm like sleep deprived and I'm like going to go home and dream about
feels
all of it.
Real.
And
it
just
feels,
not wake up.
It feels
up.
Real because it is real.
I love it.
Will you please tell the nice listeners about your album that's coming out that I'm excited about that they need to get?
I have a new album dropping. It'll be out this Wednesday the 17th, which means it's probably out. I don't know when this
is. No, I'm going to put this out on Thursday because I know you were dropping your album.
Awesome. So it's out right now. Go to on iTunes or Bandcamp or Amazon. And it's called Opinion Cave.
Opinion Cave? Amazing.
Yeah. Because I have a joke where I talk about being harassed by a guy and I say, I'm sorry, my fuckhole is acting like an opinion cave and I'm asking to be treated like a human being with self-respect and dignity.
Great. Yeah.
So,
great.
Opinion Cave.
That is important.
Fun. Yeah.
That's
just
great.
Just yapping. Women yapping.
Love it. And you also have mm-hmm. your own podcast, which I have done, which is wonderful.
Yeah. It's called Lady to Lady.
Lady to Lady, guys.
With Barbara Gray and Tess Barker. It's from the Max Fun Network.
It's a good partnership to the JV Club. I've mm-hmm. always felt it. I still do.
Yeah.
I think many of you probably, there is plenty of crossover already, but I think for those of you who aren't familiar with it, check it out. Definitely check out the album.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. This is awesome.
Thank you for doing it. And maybe take a nap, maybe not. I can't take naps, so I'm the last person who's going to tell you.
I'm a bad napper, but like I might treat myself today.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You deserve it.
Yeah. Right.
Love it.
I think I do.
Curl up next to Ryan Reynolds. All due respect to your very, very smart boyfriend.
Honestly, this is together. My boyfriend on this morning, I woke up to a People magazine with Ryan Reynolds on the cover on the pillow next to me because my boyfriend had gone to
the
store.
You guys are going
to
make the sweetest.
I know.
Couple of. With the extra guy.
Yeah. I can't wait. He's going to be such a great
word for
third.
That, but now I'm tired. Okay, guys, I will talk to you next time on the podcast. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.